On today's episode, an update on the Frito-Lay strike in Topeka, Kansas, and an ex-employee's account that should make you question everything. I'm Brad Sprinkle, and welcome to the Progressive Project. Greetings, and welcome to the Progressive Project for July 27th, 2021, Episode 3. I'm your host, Brad Sprinkle, and welcome to the show. Today is going to be a relatively short episode. I just wanted to give an update on the Frito-Lay strike in Topeka, Kansas, and subsidize that with a story of an ex-employee and their account of working there, the horrific situation that they've had to deal with. And it really is a pretty striking reminder of the fact that this country still has a lot of issues and a lot of systemic problems that need to be addressed. So just want to give you all the details on that. Just as a quick reminder, if you have yet to do so, please follow this podcast on Spotify, Anchor, Breaker, and Pocket Cast. Working hard to get my listenership up. Right now it's still relatively low. I might have to hire somebody to help me with this professionally to get the word out. I'm not good at advertising. Social media is not really one of my strong suits, so need to work on that, but anyone listening who may have some advice or any words of wisdom on that, feel free to contact me. I'm open to any and all ideas. So with that introduction, let me get into this brief update for you. So last week I provided a story of employees at a Frito-Lay plant going on strike in Topeka, Kansas, as they had been fed up with working conditions, working hours, being underpaid, underappreciated, and frankly just burned out, and decided to go on strike and take a stand. And I wanted to provide an update today because within the last couple days, a deal has been reached between union members and the higher-ups at Frito-Lay. The deal includes a few minor concessions to the working class, such as guaranteeing workers one day off a week. And as you recall from last week, a lot of employees complain about not having a single day off in 5 months, having to work 7 days a week for five straight months. A 4% wage increase for those making between $18 and $36 an hour. And the end to quote-unquote suicide shifts, which require employees to work back-to-back 12-hour shifts with only an 8-hour break in between. So on one hand, you have the power and influence of unions and going on strike making real, tangible difference in the lives of hundreds of employees. However, if viewed through a more skeptical lens, it's still unbelievable to me that only one day off a week is considered a victory in the year 2021. This story, as I stated in last week's episode, is unfortunately just one example of a systemic problem when it comes to workers' rights and living wages. So I'm sure at this point, Frito-Lay would be perfectly happy if this was the end of the story, and all negative press would simply dissipate. However, one former employee at Frito-Lay has come forward with his story, and it's simply horrific. So, allow me to give you the details. Brendan Ingram, a former employee at Frito-Lay, has decided to share his shocking experience. Brendan began working for Frito-Lay in 2011 and was quickly praised for his exemplary work, receiving promotions, raises, and numerous awards. However, in 2016, Brendan and his entire family's lives would be changed forever. While pressing a button to open a dock door, which he had done hundreds of times before, Brendan was electrocuted. As a result, he has suffered from liver disease and two herniated discs. Even though Brendan immediately went to the ER and was obviously dealing with immense pain, Frito-Lay forced him to call in sick the next day, essentially refusing any approved time off from work. In addition, because of a deal Frito-Lay had with a particular hospital and insurance network, Brendan was forced to go to the hospital he did not want to go to. The doctors at this hospital refused a request for an MRI, which has undoubtedly led to further pain and suffering. Brendan did eventually get an MRI from his primary care physician, and it was discovered that only surgery would alleviate the pain in Brendan's back. Furthermore, a fall or a minor tweak could have led to him becoming paralyzed, which he still deals with to this day. Now, all of these details are horrifying enough on their own, but if you can believe it, this story gets even worse. In order to file for long-term disability, Brandon had to repeatedly visit numerous doctors in order to prove he was actually suffering. And of course, Frito-Lay discontinued his insurance through the company, so all of his medical bills had to be paid out of pocket. In an incredibly emotional part of his interview, Brandon breaks down, admitting at one point he was so desperate for money that he actually broke in his kids' piggy banks. At the end of their wits, Brandon and his wife decided they had no other recourse but to sue Frito-Lay. In response, you know what Frito-Lay decided to do? Well, heavy surveillance, of course. Brandon's wife claims that numerous undercover operatives had been following their family for years, spying on everything from driving in traffic to the birth of their newborn child. The surveillance and harassment reached such a point that the family decided to start homeschooling their children in fear that they would be stalked and harassed at school. That is just unbelievable. This situation has left Brandon and his family in horrific turmoil, both emotionally and financially. They are still struggling today with no signs of a settlement or ruling from the courts in order to alleviate their financial woes. So this Frito-Lay story really does have a little bit of everything. Workers' rights, unions, denial of basic health care, and the problem with insurance being supplied by employers. Now, at this point, I'm going to go off script, and in the interest of full disclosure, the first two episodes were entirely scripted out. I typed out all my notes exactly as I wanted to say them, and I have received some feedback, some very loving feedback from my wife and a few others that have stated that it does sound like I am reading off a script, and I completely agree. It does sound just a little robotic, so I want to try to, you know, be more free-flowing here with my thoughts on this story, because again, this story really does have a little bit of everything that has brought me to this point of becoming passionate about these topics and making this podcast and trying to have it succeed. It's unbelievable to me that in 2021, we have a situation where a company that made $18 billion last year refused to help this employee who, again, this isn't even if you want to look at an example of an employee who was late to work all the time, was a terrible employee and didn't get along with their coworkers. You want to create a hypothetical scenario like that. That's one thing. This is a guy who'd been working there for 5 years and had been given promotions, awards, you know, pay raises, was really considered a top tier employee. You know, never missed time, never called in late, was just the model example of what you look for in an employee. He does something routine to his job that he's done hundreds and hundreds of times before, which is just pressing a button to open the door to a dock, and he is electrocuted on the job. And to think that the very next day, he has to call in himself to work sick because the company sort of refused to just acknowledge that this happened, just treating it like nothing happened, and then the next day, oh, where are you? You're late to work. And this really brings me to sort of healthcare in this country, in that it truly is amazing that we are more or less the only large, you know, developed country in the world that does not provide healthcare to their people as a right. And it just amazes me that we can subsidize the military to absolute, you know, endless amounts of money. So we can subsidize oil companies to allow them to maximize their profits and pollute the planet. We can subsidize billionaires who want to go into space for their little pet projects. We can subsidize this laundry list of things. But when it comes to subsidizing healthcare and making sure that everybody is covered in this country, regardless of employment status, that is one thing that really, truly bothers me, because about 4 years ago, I was laid off from my job. And you want to know why? There was no reason. I wasn't fired for cause. I wasn't laid off because I wasn't doing my job. I wasn't let go because I didn't show up to work on time. I was simply let go because they needed X amount of employees gone from my shift, and I just happened to be at the bottom of this list. That's the only reason. Regardless, I still lost my health care. I still lost it for 3 months, and, you know, thankfully nothing horrible happened to me in that period of time, but, you know, that absolutely is not a guarantee. Every single day you wake up in this country, you never know if it's going to be your last. So it's just, it's a very frustrating story. And this guy's, his story is, I know it's not the only example of a story out there like that. There's so many people going through this that, you know, they spend years fighting with their insurance companies to get just basic coverage. And it's just, you know, for people to defend insurance companies and to continue to say that health insurance or, you know, healthcare is not a basic human right, I just don't understand. I mean, I just don't get it. So, and along with the healthcare argument, is just this story again exemplifies how, you know, still in 2021, you have conditions of people working 70, 80 plus hours a week. Some of these employees not having a day off for months. Some of them having little to no wage increases due to spike, you know, inflation continues to spike, rent continues to go up, grocery prices, all everything around us is going up in price. Yet there are millions and millions of workers whose wages either don't go up at all or do not go up according to inflation. So when we say a living wage, we mean just that. We don't just mean, you know, give everyone across the country, you know, X amount of dollars per hour. Every part of the country does have a different living standard, and that needs to be taken into account when we look at wages and we look at what people truly deserve in order to just do the basic things in life, pay rent, pay off, you know, pay off their debts, maybe a car payment, maybe student loans, just the very, you know, groceries, you know, food and clothes for their children, all the basic things that most of us take for granted. The majority of the wages in this country do not account for that. So, you know, this Frito-Lay story is, again, I'm kind of going off the cuff here, just kind of expressing some thoughts. But this, you know, when I did the story last week and then I got the update about the agreement which was reached, which really is a very, very minor concession. It is a victory in one sense that it does prove that when people get together for a purpose, they can truly accomplish something, you know, amazing, in that they can get a company that made $18 billion last year to concede to their workers and say, okay, we do value you, but it's still, you know, one day off a week, that's not enough. You know, 4% wage increase for people that have been there for 20, 30 plus years, that's not enough. Only ending suicide shifts and not just saying it's 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, because that's been the standard in this country for forever, is not enough. So again, this story sort of sparked and triggered most of the reasons why I do this podcast and why I've gotten political the last few years. So just wanted to share some sort of raw thoughts about that. And unfortunately, I know the story is, there will be more, you know, like last week there was the story about Amazon that I gave you, but that story is a few months old. But, you know, again, talk about a company that could easily subsidize more wages, healthcare for all their employees, bonuses, better working conditions. I mean, Amazon could do absolutely anything they wanted for their employees and still be worth just boatloads of money. But, you know, with the system we have in place, they are almost, you know, forced to only consider their shareholders and to maximize profit. And so when I talk about systemic issues, that's really what I mean. It's not necessarily any individual who's evil and corrupt and greedy. Now, obviously, a lot of these people absolutely are that. But that's not the primary problem. The primary issue is the system itself, and that the absolute bottom line should not be the only thing that's considered, because when that is the case, so many people are stomped over, are looked over, are kicked to the curb when they're no longer needed. And in the example I gave today of an employee who's no longer needed because he's on the shelf, because he's hurt, all of a sudden we abandon you. We don't give you any insurance. We don't give you any, we don't care at all. In fact, we're going to go so far as to stalk you and your family to make sure that you're actually telling the truth, to make sure that you are actually hurt, that you're not in your backyard playing with your kids or raking leaves or whatever it is to prove that, yeah, you do in fact have two herniated discs in your back. So unfortunately, you know, people that say this is the greatest country on earth, and in a lot of ways it is, but I absolutely refuse to concede to that talking point of, Well, if you don't like this country, then get out. Well, maybe I do love this country. And maybe part of the reason is because I can talk about these things openly without repercussion, without fearing the state coming knocking on my door saying, you can't say that about our government. We have so many issues that need to be addressed. This country could be 1,000 times better than it is today. And I think that anybody who truly loves this country would agree with me on that and would fight for these changes and would realize that, you know, a lot of people, a lot of politicians, and a lot of billionaires and CEOs do not have your best interests at heart. Just keep that in mind. Really think about who's fighting for you and who's not. And when you can come to that realization, you will realize that we need to get together and fight. So I guess that's the end of my rant for this story. And again, off script for today. I'm still trying to figure out format-wise which I prefer, because when I script everything out, everything's laid out exactly as I want to say it, but I do realize it sounds robotic and it doesn't sound purely from the heart. So maybe I'll try to mix it up a little more in the future. So I guess that'll do it for today. I really wanted to give an update on that story, and when I discovered, the story of Brandon Ingram, it really caught my attention, and I know his story is not the only one like that. But it's just truly unbelievable that that's how some workers are treated in this country. And, they are the backbone of all these companies. They are the people that really make this engine turn, and they do not deserve to be treated like this. So that'll do it for episode 3 of the Progressive Project. On Spotify, Anchor, Breaker, and Pocket Casts for now. Still waiting to hear from Apple Podcasts and maybe Google Podcasts. I'm assuming the reason I haven't is because I don't have many listeners right now. That'll do it for today. This has been episode 3 of the Progressive Project. And until next Tuesday, have a great day.